I'm Sajagon again. The distinction that I made the other day, he himself makes very strongly, the distinction between being becoming tamei as a result of achila and becoming tamei as a result of negiya. He deserves a credit really for that, to making that emphasizing that very, very strongly. He points out that just because there's a lot of evidence that negiya betuma to become tamei is not an issue in matters of chulin, that doesn't mean that it's there isn't such an issue regarding achila. So he tries to actually neutralize a lot of the evidence, especially the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Tezayin Amud Beis, which is b'div lasam lo sigo, that when it comes to chulin there is no concept of tahara. He tries to neutralize it by making this distinction. I think presented it the other way, just I remembered it the wrong way. For him that's a very important issue. It's also important to realize though that even as he does that, he also has a very mechudash view of how to read that Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. Normally the Rishonim will speak about it pretty much, and I think most people read the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Tazayin Rebeis as saying that again B'div L'Sam Lo Sigo, it can't be referring to Chulin. After all, the only time that we find that there's an Isur L'Histameh is for a Kohen and for Tumas Meis of a Kohen. But anything other than a Kohen and Tumas Meis, which generally I think it's understood to mean, which means that even a Kohen, there's no special kiyum from not becoming Tameh if it's not an issue of Tumas Meis. For example, is there some halacha that B'niv L'Sam Lo Sigo should apply dafka to Kohanim or Tumas Sheretz? So the standard reading of the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Tezayin on base, is the only time you ever have a problem of Negiya is Tumas Meis LeKohen. The Rav Ruchem Fischer Perlo insists that, you know, you don't have to read the Gemara that way, and that all the Gemara is really, really saying is that, all the Gemara is really saying, based on the Kavachomer that the Gemara makes, etc., is that Yisrael doesn't have any such Isur Negiya. But he tries to read the Gemara that while there is no onesh, there is certainly an iser for even a regular kohen to be nogeya b'sheretz u'b'nevela. So that's like a major departure from the normal way to read. He's aware of it, but he argues that you really could read it that way. That would imply, it's very important for our issue, that maybe there's a difference between kohanim and Yisraelim, even vis-a-vis the issue of chulin. Okay, then there's a lot more. It's about 25-page piece, so I didn't assign it, and I wouldn't burden you with it. But, you know, Kedarko, he throws a lot of things around, and a lot of the things that he rejects, you know, sometimes are food for thought, and the reason that he rejects them aren't always as compelling. There are a lot of interesting suggestions along the way, make certain distinctions in terms of the issue of tahara b'chulin. Okay. In terms of Chulin al Taharas HaKodesh, I just want to mention one or two other points quickly. And we discussed the Machlokas HaRishonim about the scope and the nature of this halacha. Rashi here against the Ramban, the Rashi and Tosfos discussion on Lamed Daled Amud Beis and Lamed Hei Amud Aleph, and particularly the problems of Shitas HaRambam, where the Rambam seems to take a very strong stand against almost all Rishonim, that Chulin al Taharas HaKodesh is lav kekodesh, and yet we find in all sorts of contexts, and Eli Friedman mentioned to me that there are also the Rambam Tavos Paraduma, and there's some also Rambams I referred to in Pirush Mishnayos, which I didn't go into. Again, I don't want to get too ensconced in this topic, but the Rambam Shita is very, very complicated. So basically, we have to analyze whether the Chulin al Taharas HaKodesh applies only to the level of Tumah v'Tahara, that's Nitfas, or it even applies to the Isur L'Tameh. What about the Shmira Milatameh? And we also discussed whether you could be Mechalek between those two things. Of course, the more obvious distinction would be to say it's also L'Tameh, but there's no Din of Shmira. That's what I was suggesting, even according to Rashi, based on the Girsa in the Shidduch Kubetzes. But some of you were suggesting Yaakov a bunch of you were actually suggesting that maybe you can read the Ramban that there's an Isur Shmira even even if there's no isa latame, which I think is an interesting idea, but not one without problems. Then, of course, there's the question of achila, and then there's the problem of sreifa. Normally, when you have kanshin, which is tamei, so then it's chayv sreifa. Does that apply also when it comes to the issue of taharas hakodesh? So, I think the big issue, of course, is number one. I think there are several issues. Number one. Is this a din of the chefetz at all, or is it only a din of regilus agavra, the way that Rashi describes it? The origin, meaning the reason that this institution of taharas hakodesh came about, may be regilus lishmar tahara. That doesn't necessarily mean that it's limited to that and it's tochen, as it could be. However, they were metakein as a result that we treat the chefetz in a certain way as well. So I think that's one issue. And as I said the other day, even if it's regilus, the question is, so how many nihugim and where do you draw the line? I mean, how much of a simulation in actions, how far are we going to push that? But, having said that, and even if it's in the chefza, you could say, well, the chefza for this, but not the chefza for that. But it is certainly logical to say that it's a question of regilus and not a question of the chefza. So you're going to draw the line, and you're going to exclude many of the issues of kashrut. I think that's one of the issues. An overlapping issue, but not exactly the same question, is this question of when we speak of chulim shenasu al taharas hakodesh kakodesh, right? To what extent does it remain chulin treated like kodesh, or we really project and really simulate kodesh? We might treat, chulin as in the form of kodesh, or chulin treated as Kodesh, but still Chulin differently than if we were simulating that this is actual Kodesh. Again, this overlaps the first question, but it isn't exactly the same. Which brings us to the next issue that I wanted to mention very quickly. And that is as follows. Even if it is a din in the Chafetza, and you take the most extreme, let's say, application of Chul Shinasal Taras Kodesh Kodesh, right, there's still another issue to consider. And that is, it's kakodesh only with respect to actual tahara, or more. Meaning, this halach of chul shenasal taharas hakodesh is certainly applied to the intersection between kodshim and taharos, or in the case of chul shenasal taharos truma, between truma and tahara. But the question I'm raising is, we're not saying, chul shenasal taharas hakodesh, it's kodesh, meaning you can simulate kodshim for other men. No one's going to say, make sure that there's no yotze or no pigul. I mean, that would be ridiculous. Right? Chulin shenasal taharas hakodesh means treat this chulin as you would treat kodshim vis-a-vis its kodshim issues. That's clear. What's not so clear is when you have the interface between kachim and taharos, so which of these factors really drives the interaction, if one can raise that question? In other words, when we have certain limitations or certain halachos about being shomer kachim b'tahara, just like we ask the question about, tahara b'regel, right? It's a regular halacha or it's a tahara halacha? So I think it's a more subtle question, but it's legitimate to raise parallel question regarding kodshim and taharos. The special level of tahara that is required for kodshim. So that is a din in tahara of kodshim, or it's a din in tahara, but this din of tahara is limited to kodshim. In other words, is it more of a kodshim halacha or a tahara halacha? Why is it that you can't eat basar kodshim? Why is it that you have to burn basar kodshim once it's tameh? Okay, that is because of dinei tuma and the impact of tuma, or this kind of kodshim, which can't fulfill its purpose and in this particular way needs sreifa, has to be brought lebeis apsul. I think this is an important question. Also, and where you draw the line in Chulin Shenasu al Taharas HaKodesh. Now, the truth is, if you want to look at I think this is what the Mikdash David is getting at. The Mikdash David raises this question with regard to Truma. He says, even if you hold Kodesh Shanasu Al Taras HaKodesh, Al Taras Truma is Ketruma, right? But that's only going to apply to those dinim that have to do with Tumas Truma. I mean, the requirements of Taharas Truma. But if the result of Tuma is that the Truma is unusable, you don't have Kiyum Mitzvaso, and therefore you have to burn it, but you have to burn it not because it's Tamei, not because it's a Cheftza of Truma Tmeya, and that Mitzvaso now requires Sreifa, but rather if you're Mitami the Truma and you can't fulfill the Mitzvah of Truma, so Mimela it has to be burnt because Truma, which is not Nitan Lekiya Mitzvaso, has to be burnt. So would you still say that Truma, that Chulin Shanasa al Taharas Truma Shenitma has to be burnt? I mean, you have to read it a couple of times to see what bothers it. I think this is exactly the issue that he's talking about. Meaning, Chulin Shanasa al Taharas Kodesh or Nasa al Taharas Truma, the Pashtus is not about Hilchas Truma or Hilchas Kodshim and simulating Truma and simulating Kodshim. It's specifically about simulating the Taharas standards of Kodshim and Truma, or at least it might be. And if that's the case, then you have to investigate some of the applications. We were saying before, well, what's going on here? There's the level of Tuma, right? Shlishi and Rabi in particular. It's one issue. Right? And then there's the Isur Latame, Ligrom Tuma. And then there's the Shmira Minatuma. And then there's Achila, Isur Achila. And then there might even be a Chiyuv Sreifa. What I'm saying is it's legitimate to ask the question about these different issues, whether or not these are primarily dinim in Chetzah Shel Kodshim and Chetzah Shel Truma, albeit which are affected by Tuma, or they're really din in Tumas Truma, Tumas Kodshim more directly. And if that's the case, so then I think we might be able to understand better some of the distinctions that are being made. Because it would seem that, you know, the most obvious distinction is Rishon Sheni Shlishi Ravi. And the counting the Chalos Hatfasas Tuma. Right? That's one. Now the second issue is, you know, do we really treat it as Cheftza Shel Kodshim? Again, even the distinctions that we made before, is it a Niyug? Is it a Din in the Cheftza? Is it a din in the Cheftza as Chulin? Or pretending that it's Kodshim? Fine. But the point is that some distinctions that we make may go beyond that. They may go to this very issue. Because in some cases, the Tuma interaction with Truma or Kodshim, the result of that, or the Isra of it, isn't really about Tuma. It's really about an unfulfilled or a compromised Kodshim or Truma. And if it's about it's about compromised Kodshim or Truma, or unfulfilled Kodshim or Truma, will that also apply to Al Taharas HaKodesh or Al Taharas Truma? The answer is maybe not. Again, if it's the regilus of, you know, dealing with Truma and Kodshim, fine. But if it's about the regilus in Tuma Vatara of dealing with Kodshim and Truma, then it's quite possible that some of these dinim will not qualify. And I think this might help in understanding where you draw the line for somebody like the Rambam, the different places to draw the line for example, going to Rashi, is it possible that there's no Isra Achila, which is what he seems to say in Lamed Dalet and Lamed He, Lamed Dalet of Beis, and Tosfos Lamed He Amud Aleph, but there is an Isra Latame? Maybe the Isra Latame is a din in specifically Tumas Kodshim, the Isra Latame Kodshim. But maybe the Achila is, you know, compromised Kodshim of a certain type as a Kodshim Halacha. And so on. And this also might help sort out something else. As I mentioned already, the issue, what is the relationship between Chulin Shanasu Al Taharas Truma and Chulin Shanasu Al Taharas HaKodesh? Right. So again, Halacha, we know the Rambam believes in Truma and not in Kodesh. But Ruchim Fishel Perlo as I mentioned, talks about maybe being machalic between them in some of these issues. In other words, beyond the question of hatvasas, dargos, tumah v'tahara, what about the isur, latame, and so on? And he says, you know, it could go in either direction. And I tried to explain, you know, even more why it might go in either direction. But it also could be, in addition to the question of, in other words, do you focus more on the cheftza, or is it just the dinner regilus? How incapable are we of simulating either kachim or trumos relative to each other? In addition to that, some of the other issues might be different because of what I just described. Namely, we have certain dinim that look the same in kachim and in truma, but it's not so clear that they really are the same. The chiyuv shmira, the isur achila, the chiyuv sreifa. It's quite possible that although they look very similar, you have to look very carefully at the psukim and the halachos, that there are differences. That in some cases they have to do with chefta shel truma or chefta shel kadshim being compromised or unfulfilled. And in other cases, they really are a function of truma tmeya or kadshim betame. In which case, in addition to the question of psak, we also just may find that we don't have a complete parallel in the actual definition of what Taharas HaKodesh means in Truma and in Kachin. And this would be the explanation why that would be so. Okay, that's just, again, something to think about, and we're not going to speak more about that. The other thing I wanted to mention quickly is we spoke about Chibas HaKodesh. I just wanted to quote, I was speaking in the end there, I mentioned the Midrash Chinuch quotes us in Mitzvah Kuf Samech, the view of the Nodav Yehuda in the Tzlach. So the Ayin B'Tzlach B'Shitzer B'Chanina Skana Kohen, and this is Osiyot Ches in Simin Kuf Samech, that's where I got it from. Chidesh Dover Nifla. He himself, if you look at the Tzlach, I saw it once a couple of years ago, he says, I'm about to tell you something truly amazing. He doesn't shy away from telling you. And that is, Hod Ein Kelim Mekablim Tumah Rak Me'avat Tumah V'lo Mirishon V'Sheni Kemosha Kasabda, the regular din that Kelim can only be Mekabel Tumah from an Av HaTumah, they can only become a Rishon. Zedavka B'Kli Chulin Aval Kli Shareis L'man Damar Eitzim V'Levona Mekablim Tumah Min HaTorah Ve'Va HaBasar Bin Chibas HaKodesh V'lo Haba Asmachta Rak Drosha Gemura the Chibas HaKodesh Daraisa, Kemosha Kasavti, Imkein, Kivin de Eitzin Mekablim Tuma, the Chibas HaKodesh Mashbele Ochel, Lo Garu Kalim, Me'ilo Hayu Chatichas Eitzo Matachos, Dohayu Mekablim Tuma Mehem, Afilu Kodim Shinasu Kalim, Betoras Ochel. The Chibas HaKodesh Mashbele Dober Gush, Ochel, Ayin Chulin Lamed Vav Mebeis. Imkein, Lo Garu Abbas Okli, Vele Yotza Mitoras, Chibas HaKodesh, to have it come Ochel. Of course, it's a huge assumption. Number one, he's taking literally the idea that Chibas HaKodesh works because it creates a shame Ochel, as opposed to saying that all the Pasuk really means to say is, even though it really isn't an Ochel, right, the stature of Kachim per se makes it susceptible to Tumah. The language of the Gemara sounds like it makes it into Ochel. Then he's assuming that, you know, Kli, because of its form, is lo gara mi'ochel. That too, of course, is a huge assumption, because one could say, as long as something doesn't have, you know, another status in Tumah v'Tahara, like a Kli, so then you can expand the definition of ochel. But once something has independent status in Tumah v'Tahara, like Kalim do, so then it can no longer be an expanded ochel, because it's already a Kli. And a Kli and an Ochel are mutually exclusive. And since it's a Kli, call it Arakula, so it can't be expanded Ochel. Bishlam of Pshute or Gush, which is neither Kli nor Ochel, so basically it's in nowhere, it's, you know, in neutral territory and when it comes to a limbo, it's a kind of a limbo state when it comes to Tahara. So there you can say, well, you know what? Chibas HaKodesh expands the Shem Ochel. But I don't think it's so obvious to say that about a Kli. But this is his suggestion. Im Kain, Af Kalim Dinam Ka'ochlin and Makablin Tumah Me Rishon Vesheni. Vegam Tzvul Yom Posel Kama Ochlin. Vedivrei Pichacham Kain Yisvasayim Nishak, etc. Then he says, he likes it a little bit, and then he quotes the words of his, I think he quotes the words of his son, Bitzlach's son, where he says that there's going to be some serious problems, the Shulchan, so on, certain Gemaras and Yuma and Chagiga. So then he quotes the words of his son, here it is, El Al-Karkin Kamosh Amar Beno Harav, so that's his conclusion. He likes it very much, but he doesn't think it's sustainable. He says, in the end, only Lavona and Ktores, because they're Achilas Mizbeach, therefore you can expand the shame Ocha. That's a different place to draw the line than what I suggested before about Caleb. But what I wanted to add, I think I mentioned the other day, but I just looked it up again to make sure, is that Reb Chaim, in his Chibur, in Ochos Psulei HaMukdashim, Perek Yud Ches, Halachi Yud Beis, is very bothered by the Rambam seems to partially at least have dropped Eitzim. Rambam has Lavona and he has Ktores, but he doesn't have Eitzim. In Psulei HaMukdashim, he speaks about Chibas HaKodesh being Machshir. So the Reb Chaim was bothered by that. What happened to Eitzim? So Reb Chaim basically says that Chibas HaKodesh Machshir only applies to Karbonos. And he distinguishes between Karbonos and Kedushas HaGuf. Says you can have something which is Kedushas HaGuf, but doesn't make it a Karbon. Right? All sorts of sugyas discuss the question whether or not Eitzim are considered a Karbon or not. But if you paskin, so basically what Reb Chaim was suggesting is, when the Gemara introduced Chibas HaKodesh with regard to Eitzim, that's according to the Mandamar that Eitzim is a Karban. But if you paskin, like the Rambam seems to paskin, that Eitzim really aren't a Karban, even though they have Kedushas HaGuf, so that would explain why he dropped Chibas HaKodesh, and it only applies to Lavona and to Ketores, which are Karbanos. So that's Reb Chaim's position. The status of Eitzim, according to the Rambam, with regard to Chibas HaKodesh, isn't so simple, though. And I think others note that while he drops it in Hilchos Psulei HaMukdashim, he does seem still to relate to it in other places, including, I think, in Sher Avos HaTumah. But even if you don't go as far as Reb Chaim, one could certainly accept the view of Nitzlach, which is that even if you don't need a Karban, you at least require Nechal Al Gabe HaMizbeach. But that's Reb Chaim's view, and you should look it up. The final issue is the final one who deals with that, I mentioned, is Reb Elbel, discusses the question of Bal Chai, and I think, again, that one could say that, you know, the question is, why doesn't, you know, Chibas HaKodesh apply to a Bal Chai? So again, if we say that Chibas HaKodesh doesn't really mean to expand Ochel, but it's a way of saying you don't need Ochel, and Kodshim, by virtue of their character and their stature, are already hukshu lekabel tuma. So I think the question is more palatable. If it's really an expansion of Ochel itself, again, I don't think it's worse than the Nota Biyuda's suggestion about Kalim, except that you might say the same thing, and that is that in Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara, you know, a chai is dafka not nitfas in tuma. And in that sense, not exactly the same as the status of a kli, which is like a rival category for Tumah V'Tahara, but it is maybe better or worse, meaning Bal Chai is not Mekabel Tumah generally, and certainly doesn't have, might say it's the antithesis of Ochel. But again, according to the perspective of Tzlach San, which is the question of being Niktar Al Gabi Mizbeach, then surely one could say that Bal Chai is not Niktar Al Mizbeach. So again, depending on the different perspectives you have for Chibas HaKodesh, we could answer that issue differently. Reb Elbel himself just assumes that everything in Chibas HaKodesh begins, it's Gzeiras HaKasuv, that it only begins La'achar Shechita. Okay. Now let's get back to the issues that we didn't discuss. I just wanted to clarify if we're running late today. Now let's have somebody, Adam, you want to read just quickly? Just finish up the Tosas on Beis on Beis here. I want to speak about that for a couple of minutes before we move on. Okay, we're in the middle of the Chibas HaKodesh Tosas. And again, to point out once more, one other hour I wanted to make. The Rambam Shita, as we know, is that Chibas HaKodesh is only Drabanan. I already mentioned the Note of Yehuda's suggestion that if you hold that way, then there's really not much difference between Chulin Shinas or Taurus HaKodesh, which is a Drabanan, and Mukdashin. And that's why he thinks the Rambam dropped the requirement of barley. And I already mentioned the Achiezer disagrees, and I had a suggestion of my own why one could be Mechalek between them. But all that was based on the assumption that the Rambam really holds that Chibas HaKodesh is Drabanan, which he does say explicitly in Perek Yud. Rambam says this explicitly in Tumas Ochlin, Perek Yud Alach Yud Zayin, and Yisroim is Be'ach Perek Vav Alach Ches. But it should just be noted that there is one other Rambam which the Achronim have trouble with, and that is, again, Rambam Sulei Mukdashim, Perek Yud Ches Alach Chabdalid. There, the Rambam seems to say that Chibas HaKodesh is not effective in creating Tuma L'inyan Onshim, but it sounds an awful lot in that Rambam like there might be an Iser, maybe even an Iser Daraisa. So when we say that Chibas HaKodesh is only Drabanan, which is, seems to be the Rambam's Psak, there may be an exception in the Rambam's Psak in Psula Mukdashim. So if you get a chance, just look. You should just look at that. Okay. Either way, these are the two deas in Tosis to explain the issue and the problem. Okay. Adam, go ahead. Now Tosis raises a different question.
Why are we saying that the concern here is that we're just going to go into the Mikdash?
Right.
And that's even a concern by a tar. Because Rishon went to the tar, he doesn't deserve to pay. Tara is only applicable to tar. Doma asim shivabal. Tama means there's zayir.
Yeah, okay. So that's more of a technical answer. That we understand. We're not worried that the guy, sometimes when you're more disqualified, you're actually going to be more cautious and careful. Okay, let's continue. Okay, continue. Picture of Ben Ephraim. I just want to speak about this for a minute. Go ahead. So how is this Sakan Aruka going to help you unless it's like, you know, the Guinness book of, you know, record, you know, Sakan Aruka of all time, right? Because it's like we're talking about a huge distance here. It's almost like, you know, the Bay Crane or something. right? So, but that would be a problem maybe of Koach Adam, I don't know. So, okay.
So,
right. So Tosa gives two answers. So this is the problem. How can you talk about Sakan Aruka if you're off limits, if you're Tame, you're off limits to the proximity of the Azara? That's a very practical question. Okay, so Tosas here gives two answers, and Tosas in Zvachim gives another answer. Namely, go ahead, Adam. Meaning?
You can't tell me inside.
Oh. So coming Tame inside, what is the significance of that? So this is a bit very, very interesting issue. The question of the relationship between two cases in Bias Mikdash Betuma. One is Knisa, and the other is Shehiyah. And that too is subject to a big discussion of Reb Chaim in Perek Yud Ches, I'm sorry, in Perek Gimel of Hilchos Bias Mikdash. Okay, Reb Chaim points out that we really have two, if you look at the Gemaras, we have two different psukim that teach you that Knisa l'Mikdash is Asa Betuma, and Shehiyah b'Mikdash is Asa Betuma. And the whole discussion of Reb Chaim is, are these two psukim kind of like a Gili Milsa? He doesn't say it this way, but this is what he means. Are they a Gili Milsa that's all one halacha? Or they're both Bia B'Mikdash B'Tumma, because that's what the Torah speaks about, but they really are two different Mechayivim. One is the Knisa, and the other is, you know, the Nochachut B'Mikdash B'Tumma, just being present there. And this is really his question. This is his issue that he discusses in the Rambam. If we were to conclude that we're dealing with two different Mechayivim, not just an expansion, you know, Shehiya is Bechlal Bia, but basically it's all one issue, so then it leaves, you know, room, it's part of what he discusses, to be Mechalek, there could be substantive Chilukim between the Iser Knisa and the Iser Shehiya, even though they're both called Bia L'Mikdash B'Tumah, but two different ways, two different Mechayivim of Bia B'Mikdash B'Tumah. And if that's true, then it's possible to explain Rabbeinu Tam that there's a difference between the Azara and Mach and the Leviya, or at least as Ras Nashim. And that is that the Iser Knisa applies to both, but the Iser Shehiya, that aspect of Bias Mikdash Betuma, is something that is limited to being present in the Azara itself. Okay. That would explain, partially explain, Shitas Rabbeinu Tam. According to that view, the problem of being Nichnas to Machne Leviya is a problem of Machne Leviya. It's not that Midrabanan, let's say, they extended Machne Leviya to include also Machne Shechina. Okay, that would seem to be the best explanation for Rabbeinu Tam. Okay, what about the Ri? Ri has a different answer, right? So what's he saying? Really, there's no halacha, even midrabanan, they weren't gozer, that you're not allowed to be in Machane Leviya, right? But they were gozer with something else, that you shouldn't be in Ezra's Nashim, because that's a makom of knisa. Okay. So what is this idea? So if you look at the Ramban says, when the Ramban formulates this view of the Ri, I should add one other thing regarding Rabbeinu Tam. The Rabbeinu Tam, the standard understanding of Rabbeinu Tam is the way I think we just read it. I should just add that the Ritva here, in Chulin Alatar, adds a line, and the new Moshe Rav Kook ones, he notes it, and he discusses it. Namely, did you see it? Yeah. That Rabbeinu Tam's halacha, being mechalek between nitma bifnim and nitma b'chutz and nichnas bifnim, is only in a situation where he remains, where the shehiya is l'shem mitzvah. But if it isn't l'shem mitzvah, then the distinction would no longer apply. The pashtus, that's not what Rabbeinu Tam said. But if you accept that, so then I think there are still two ways to explain it. One way to explain it would be that even if you say that Shehiya is a different is different than Knisa, they're again two different aspects of Bia L'Mikdash B'Tumah, you still might say that a Shehiya in which there is no pressure to stay also constitutes a Knisa. In other words, if there's no reason to stay, and you choose to stay, that's no longer Shehiya. Shehiya means, you know, you're in a bad situation that you find yourself in. The presence, per se, is not the issue. So if you have a good reason to stay, so that continues to be mitzuraf to finding yourself in this situation, and it's not a kumbase, it's not a knisa, it's a shehiya. The second that there's no reason for you to stay, and you're tameh, then the shehiya becomes the equivalent of a knisa. I think that would be the best way to explain that distinction in the Ritva, unless you say it's more of a matir, namely there are two levels, there's shehiya and there's knisa, and the shem mitzvah is matir shehiya, otherwise it's also b'torah shehiya, not that it turns into a knisa. But that's Rabbeinu Tam. Okay. Then we have the Ri. So the Ri makes a distinction between Ezra Snashim, Mokom Knisa, and and the rest of Machna Levia, even though the Mokom Knisa may be more distant than other places in Machna Levia. So it's not a question of proximity to Machna Shechina, it's really the function of Knisa V'Yetzia. So if you look at the Ramban says that this is a Gzeira, because we're worried that the guy's going to walk into the Azara. Right? That's the Ramban's reading. I think that's the Ramban's reading of the Ri. But in our Ri, it doesn't say that. Anybody have it? What?
Right.
So he says it clearly, it's because we're worried that the guy will actually walk in. By the way, the Ramban himself has another answer to all this, and that is, in a Chanami, he went in, and it's Asur, and he shouldn't have done it. The question only is whether Shvitaso Kshera, not whether he has the right to be there. He has no right to be there, and you know, there's no need to answer any questions. That's Ramban's on Shita. But there's another way to explain the Ri. The Ramban suggested this, and I think it, you know, it's supported by other things too. And that is that what the Ri may have had in mind was that the Makom Knisa itself has a certain special status. It has a status of being connected to the Azara. In other words, Rabbi Rav said it was as follows. According to Rabbi Tam, as I said before, there seems to be a clear distinction between Machna Shechina and Machna Levia. The only thing is, you're not allowed to be Nichnas Betuma the Machna Levia either, but there's a difference between Shehiya and Knisa. Opposed to Azara, the Makom itself, not just in entering the Makom, but being in the Makom is a problem. So Rabbeinu Tam's distinction is rooted in the idea that this probably Din Rabbanon of extending Machna Levia is Betoras Machna Levia. But the Rav wanted to say was that according to the Ri felt differently. The Ri felt that Makom Knisa V'Yetzia Midrabbanon is considered a hemsheikh of Machna Shechina. So the Din Rabbanon basically is limited to Machna Shechina. But expanding Machna Shechina to Makom Knisa V'Yetzia. Not because of Gzeira, but because of the Makom. And the I think the support for this, Rav Elbel has a big discussion about this in his stencils, and stencils in Zvachim Lamed Aleph on the base. And if I recall correctly, I just didn't get a chance to check it. I think also in the Chibur, I think in the letters, or maybe elsewhere, but I recall I think in the letters, they talk about this in terms of Mitzora, right? The Matan Bahonos of the Mitzora is done, you know, at Shar Nicanor, and that's considered to be Lifnei Hashem. So Grizz tries to explain it's not just because for practical reasons, you know, you have to be able to have access, you know, inside the Azara, be outside and yet be inside. He says that's not the idea. The real idea is that even though Kedushas HaAzara is only Bifnim in the Azara itself, but the Makom Azara already applies to the Shar. And that's why it's considered Lifnei Hashem. Because Lifnei Hashem is not a function of Kedushas HaAzara, it's a function of Makom HaAzara. And I think in one place he says, in the stencils, he says, and this is true in general, we see from, you know, Korban Pesach and other places, that a Pesach is considered to be Kilifnim, as a Makom. Not necessarily in terms of its Kedusha. In Kedusha, maybe the width of the door itself, in some cases is, you know, that's the question. It's Kilifnim, it's not Kilifnim, it's Kibachutz. But as a Makom, like in Chabura, like the Chabura of eating a Korban Pesach, which isn't the din of Kedusha, it's a din of Makom, right? The door, the width of the door, the entrance, is considered an extension of the Makom itself. So maybe the idea of the Ri was that the din d'rabbanan here is extended to the Makom shenichnas v'yotze misham, because even though it doesn't have Kedushas Hazara, it is considered to be the Makom Hazara. And for that reason, there's an Iser of not only Knisa, but of Shehiyah as well. That might be the explanation. The third answer, which we're not going to go into now, but it's also very important implications, is the answer of Rav Mordechai himself. Rav Mordechai is one who asks this question in Zvachim. Namely, Adam, see? No. Look at the Bama answer we have. We have that here too, right? Yeah, if it's a Bama, so then, you know, that's fine, but, you know, we have to believe that it's talking about a Bama, but nothing exciting about that. I mean, if it's a Bama, it's a Bama, right? But there's another one. Mordechai in Tosin's Vachin, did you see that? Anybody? Jay? Saw it? Jakey? Daniel? Eitan? Plomo? Jason?
Gagos?
Yeah. Gagan Valios. What did he say?
They don't have Kedusha.
So it's based on the fact that Gagan Valios don't have Kedusha, so he was, you know, he was, you know, doing it from above. So that is also a very interesting issue. Again, we're not going to go into it now, but we say Gagan Valios were not Niskadesh, you know, Le'inyan what, exactly? And especially in light of what I just said now, which is the Rav / Ravel's idea about, you know, Sha'arim and Psachim having a status of Makom, even though they don't have a status of Kedusha. The Rav in a piece in the Igros HaGrid, Gramba HaGrid, in the context of Korban Pesach, discusses the question of Gagin Valios as well, in the same way. But the Gog and Valios, even though they're not in the Skadesh, they don't have Kedusha, when you're talking about Kedusha, do they have a status of Mokom Echad, the Tzura for Mokom Echad? So in light of that, it's just interesting, maybe why other people wanted to avoid Rav Mordechai's answer of Gog and Valios. Status of Gog and Valios is very very challenging. Okay. Anyways, let's move on to the next point. Yeah.
Why would Kedusha fall short of Makom? Shouldn't the Kedusha maybe even...
No, what we're saying is, what we're saying like this, the Ezra's Nashim and the Shar and Shar Nikanor, these are in the boundaries of things. They're not the Azara.
Oh.
I mean, they don't have Kedusha's Azara.
Okay.
Meaning, you know, the things that require the Azara in terms of its Kedusha, we know that they're not included. They have a different status. And for example, for the Din D'oraisa, let's say, of Tumah V'Tahara, right? They don't qualify. What we're saying is that in certain issues like Matan Bahonos of Metzora, and maybe other things, they are considered to be an extension of Mokom Hazara, even though they're not invested with their level of Kedusha at the next level, Machan Elavia, right? But since they are the gateway, it's very logical. I mean, it's the gateway to the Azara. So as a Makom, it's Makom Azara B'li Kedushas Azara. They drew the line and the boundary technically here, but since this is facilitating that, it serves, it's the gateway. As a gateway, as a Makom, it's Mitzura. That's what they're saying. Then you have to figure out which dinim depend on. For example, Ravel was trying to explain, why is it called Lifnei Hashem? Right. Normally we consider the Azara only to be a connection. So what he's saying is, Lifnei Hashem has nothing to do with Kedushas Azara. It has to do with the Makom Azara. It could be that the Azara is significant because of its Kedusha too, but the point is that it's still a two-step process. So where you require a Makom, you would have an expanded definition. We're trying to explain here the Dindrabanan, that they were mitakein, that you can't be here. So again, according to the Rambam, it's just we're afraid if you're here, you're going to walk in. Nothing wrong with that. Right. I'm just saying the Rav thought that it was a more formal distinction, namely makom knisa lifnim, is considered an extension midrabanan of the makom. I'm just adding the grizz, which he may have had in mind as well, that that the idea of Pesach and Shar generally is always considered to be a makom, even if it isn't technically within the Kedusha boundaries.
And as a practical matter, can we say that it was done from the north or south side, where the boundaries are the distance to where the Shechita took place is shorter?
Could be. I'm just saying, The main point of the Ri is that the proximity to the Azara is less important than the function of the place that you're in. Mm-hmm. Now, you can have a place that's really, really close to the Azara, but if that's not a Mokom Knisa, there would be no problem of Tumah Midrabanan. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
What does Rabbi mean by it's that there are two different Machavim, but they're both Biyam and Mikdash Tumah?
The psukim in the Torah seem to speak about Biyam and Mikdash Betuma. So that's why I think I'm just quoting. I don't think I'm saying anything on my own here. I think I'm saying what Reb Chaim says. Reb Chaim says basically it's all Biyam Mikdash Betuma, but since there are two different psukim,
it's not two different tracks of.
It's not. As one could have said, there's an Isser Knisa, and there's an Isser Shehiya. It may end up being the same thing, but I think the reason that he avoided saying that is because the psukim in the Torah speak about Bia, or at least that's how they're understood. So what he wanted to say was, but yet there are two psukim, one to teach you Knisa and the other to teach you Shehiya. So I think what he has in mind is one could have said, yeah, this because one could have thought it's only Knisa, Kamash Malan, it's also Shehiya. But if you also find that there are different dinim, right? I'm giving one example on a Drabbana level, like, you know, where Azara, Machna Levia, other dinim. I think he talks about, Bia B'miksas, Shehiya B'miksas, let's say you're half in and half out. That's where those issues come up. So I think he's saying, well, if the real Mechayev in one case is Shehiya and the other is Bia, even though that's a definition, they're both definitions of Bia, so then it'll be Nafkamiya. Now the reason I'm choosing to say it that way rather than I agree with you, all things being equal, the preferred way, would you say two dinim and one is Biyah B'Mikdash and the other is Shehiyah B'Mikdash, Heyosah B'Mikdash, Nochachus B'Mikdash, however you want to say it. He avoids saying it that way, I think because he's worried about the Pesukim. Of course, it also opens up to what I said a little bit, the possibility of what I said for Rabbeinu Tam, which is that sometimes a Shehiyah can be a Biyah too. So it's not so far to say from there. And there's a different kind of a passive Biya as opposed to an active Biya, a Kumbase Biya. Right. Okay. Now let's continue. Finally, we get to the bottom of the issue, bottom of the page, which is the issue of Savik Tumah Brishus Harav. Let's discuss that now quickly. Adam, go ahead. Tosfos asks this question. The Gemara says the Leisa Kamanda Neshaile. Right, go ahead. Okay, if talking about Bama again, fine. There's nothing interesting about Bama in these Teirutsim that require comment. Okay. So here, this is of course a very important Tosis. Tosis is asking, why don't you say Safek Tumah Brishus Harabim Tahar? And then even if Leisa Kamand in the Shaila, it should never be a problem. Right? Tosis' answer is Safek Tumah Brishus Harabim Tahar doesn't apply when it's Rov. When it's Rov L'Isar, Rov L'Tumah. Right? He's assuming factually that it is Rov L'Tumah. Rov Pa'amim Lo Yuchal L'Izar Miliga. Okay, the factual issue obviously doesn't concern me. Again, L'Halacha might, if you're signing the Paschal like those or not, would concern us, but we don't need to deal with that right now. Let's assume that the facts are right. The question is, so what's going on here? So first thing, like a technical point, but maybe not so technical, and that is some of the, I think Tosfos Yeshanim here, asked the question, Lav Dafka da Ezra's Dazar Rishus Arabim Hiu Sneiko Tahar. On early when the Gemara says Omer Barli Shalonagati, right? So, and that's when the Ramban asked the question actually. Why did Tosfos wait till the end of the sugya? Leisa Kamanda Neshaile. Why don't they ask earlier in the sugya where the Gemara says you have to say, if he goes ahead and he does, he's shoket, Tamiz shoket Mukdashim B'Sakin Aruka, that he has to say Barli. Right, Shalom Agati. Why do you have to say Barali Shalom Agati? Lav Dafka. Ta'azor Rishus Arabim Hi. Usveiko Tar. If you look at the Tosfos Yeshanim on the side of the page. So, how come Tosfos didn't make his comment there and instead only made it on the bottom of the page. So and that's just an interesting, I think, ha'ara, which raises the following question. Is it possible that Tosas wasn't bothered at this point in the Gemara because, let's assume that Safek Tumah Birshus HaRabim is Tahar. Right? That means that you don't have to say Barli Shelo Negati? It's one thing to say the Leisa to come under the Shaile, which is the bottom of the sugya. You know, we don't know. He's not there to say Bari, so what do we do? B'di'evet. Right? Acherim Ron Oso, but he can't tell us for sure. But would Safek Tumah Birshus HaRabim Tahar really resolve or neutralize the requirement to say Barli Shelo Negati? So the truth is that the Ramban himself, even though he asked the question earlier, relates to this question implicitly. Ramban, right, he discusses this. We can discuss the earlier point in a second. Yeah, the Imshacha Domer Barli Shelo Negati Shchitasa Ksheu. The Rabban says Ika Dekashale Lamele Barli Ki Misapik Le Nami Shchitasa Ksheira Temechti Ezot Rishus Azar Rishus Rabin. So if you look very carefully, the Ramban, Jaiki does what? He doesn't say, why do you need Barli Shelo Negati? What does he say? Why, without Barli Shelo Negati, would it seemingly be possible? Right? And there's Ramban again. Ika Dekashe. Lomali Barli Ki Mesapik Le Nami Shchitasa Ksheira. Right? Temechti Azar Rishus HaRabim. Basically, even though the Ramban asked the question on the Gemara Bim Shachadvar Barli Shelo Negati Shchitasa Ksheira, essentially, the way he asked the question, he might as well have asked it in the end of the sugya. He wants to ask it earlier, why wait? You know, he's raring and ready to go. Okay, but the point is, it didn't bother the Ramban. He didn't think it was a question, why do we need Barli Shelo Negati? He thought the question was, why is Barli Shelo Negati ma'ake? But one could have said that the question is, why do you need Barli Shelo Negati? Maybe that's what Tosfos Shanim really had in mind. In which case, you have a very interesting issue and argument here. Namely, even if you say Safek Tumah Birshus, even in a case where you say Safek Tumah Birshus HaRabim Tahar, will you say it to drop the requirement of Yachal Levarer? It seems, according to the Ramban, even if Safek Tumah Birshus HaRabim Tahar, it's still in Efshel Levarer, Tzarech Levarer. And maybe that's why Tosas, the people who are bothered, why did Tosas wait? Why didn't he ask the question earlier? Maybe that's exactly why they waited. Maybe they waited because, what's the kasha? I mean, the Gemara says, you know, he should say Barli Shelo Negati, because Efshel Levarer. Even if Safek Tumah Birshus HaRabim Tahar, so what? On the end of the sugya, where it seems like if you can't say, if you ran away and you can't say Efshel Levarer, and there's no biror, that then it's going to be Ma'akev, then we're asking the question, Safek Tumah Birshus HaRabim Tahar. But according to those who criticized and said that essentially you could have and should have asked the question before, and not just because of the Ramban's added line, Afilikim Misapikle, but maybe the question is, what do you even need Barli? So then what emerges is an interesting argument. If Efshel Levarer, Tzarech Levarer, in Safek Tumah Birshus HaRabim, Tahar, yes or no? Now we're soon going to, when we turn the page, the Gimel Amud Beis, we'll start discussing this problem in another context. Namely, Mechamos and the Balamar, and the Rajba and the Ra'ah, regarding Rov Mitzuyin Etz HaShechita Mumchenei. We say Rov Mitzuyin Etz HaShechita Mumchenei, right? We touched on this a little bit already, whether that is enough to say you don't even need Eid Echad Nemam B'Yisurim, right? Solved the problem with Chazak Yisura, Machlokas Rishonim, but one day in the Mordechai, against the Orzaru and some of the others. How far do you go with Rov Mitzvi Netzah Shchita Mubkaneh? We'll discuss it. Right? We'll get to it in another daf. But there's a debate between the Balamor and the Ramban. We'll discuss it when we get to it more fully. But what if Ef Shalavarim? Do you say Rov Mitzvi Netzah Shchita Mubkaneh Dein Tzarech Levarer? Or Ef Shalavarer Chayev Levarer? So that's a debate. Balamor Ramban, Rajban Ra'ah. In Shulchan Aruch, it's a huge debate as well, Halacha, Yoredeya. It could be that basically what we're dealing with here is the same issue that we're dealing with there. It's a universal question. Do we rely on Klalei Hachra, right, when we don't need to, when we have a more definitive way to resolve the problem? Ef Shalavarer across Klalei Hachra. That's one possibility. Question arises also with regard to Steksteka. You have Steksteka, but it's Ef Shalavarer. What do you do? First Sugya. Where do we have that? Why would you give it away? First Sugya of Tzuvas, right? Possibly the debate between Rashi and Tosus, if you look in the beginning of Ksuvas, right? So, Gemara, the mission there says you have to get married on Yom Dalid, so that you can wake up the next morning if you have a complaint, and you can bring it to Bezdin, and you can clarify the matter. Tosus says, well, what's the problem? It's a Svek Sveka, like Svek Tachtov, Svek Ein Tachtov, Svek Pachos Migimel, Svek More, right? So, basically, Svek Sveka. So what's the big deal about getting married on Wednesday? That's Tosus's question. It could be it's a special din there, and again, we're not going back to Ksuvas right now, but on the surface, one way to explain the Machlokas Rashi Tosus in the beginning of Ksuvas is that it's a Machlokas Ef Shalavarer B'Mokom Svek Sveka, yes or no. Just like there's a debate, Ef Shalavarer B'Mokom Rov, yes or no. Okay. So too,
we could equate the Ron there with like the Rambam's answer here.
Kind of. I mean, the Rambiale.
Yeah.
I think when we learned Ksuvas, I suggested something like that. I don't know if I mentioned Ramban then, but yeah. I mean, he was referring to the fact that the Ron in Ksuvas says that, well, since it's Bezdin's obligation, Rambiale Didei, they've got to know. So therefore, Tzrichim Levar. I think at the time I tried to explain it as a kind of din of Shmira. Bezdin, based on the Ramban in his Perush Alat Torah, the Ramban seems to say about Lo Yia Kadesh, Lo Siya Kadesha, we discussed this 2 years ago, we learned Kedushin also, but the Ramban seems to say the Bezdin is the watchdog of Klal Yisrael when it comes to Arayas. And therefore it's their job not only to make sure to implement the din, the halacha, the onshin, but they have to be proactive. They have to make sure there's nothing wrong in the communities, that there's no bad influence, that the environment is conducive to a life of Kedusha. So it could be that the regular din of Svek Sveka and so on doesn't apply. Here you have to, it's Rami Alei Beidina. That's how I understood the Ran in Ksuvas. But that aside for the moment, that may be parallel to the Ramban here, which we'll get to in a minute. Namely, certain times you don't rely on Klalei Hachra on the regular dinim because there are other things at stake. So we have this issue by Svek Sveka, we have this issue by Rov, we have this issue by Sveka Rabbanu Lekula, right? We're going to talk about it in Pesachim, Abdallah Roman Beis. Right, there we say, Sveka Rabbanu, so we did Rabbanu, the Hemdid Rabbanu, what if there are other ways to be Mevarer? So it's an issue that comes up in a lot of places. So one approach is it's across the board question. If you have the method, it's a very fascinating question too, legally and philosophically, kashkafically. If you have method, halacha gives you a method of how to be machriya, right? So can you just rely on that, or do you have to go out of your way, efshar levarer, tzarech levarer, you know, not to treat it as a suffix, but to try to find out the Torah's bad. So it could be it's an across-the-board issue, and we'll discuss it when we get to it. It's also possible that we should be mechalek between different Klalei, Birur, v'Hachra. In other words, laharei safek darbanon lekula, laharei sexveika, to rov, maybe even different types of rov, or chazaka, or for that matter, safek tumah brishas harabim tahar. Maybe it depends in each case how it works, and that in two senses. Number one, whether the miut is a significant miut. The Rav always thought that this issue depends on whether or not the result of the mevar or the machriya is to eliminate the latest asafek completely. Like if you're, you know, again, we'll speak more fully about it when Rav sees the shkita, but just very quickly, you're going to cross the street. Right? You're not going to make a tefillah saderek when you cross the street, and you're not going to say birchas hagomel. Maybe Amsterdam Avenue, I don't know, but or Queens Boulevard, even worse. But okay. But I mean, a regular street, you know, with responsible drivers, right? Isn't there a chance? Unfortunately, terrible accidents really do happen, right? So maybe you should say Berchus Agomel. Maybe you should calculate your odds, every time you cross the street. The answers are things that we do. Where the either the odds are so slim, or just the way that we relate to those issues may also be relevant, is that we don't really consider it a latest asafek. It's possible that something terrible will happen, but until something happens, in retrospect, and we reconstruct what took place, in prospect, looking forward, in other words, we don't really consider it a asafek. So that's one issue. And that goes into the question of mit hamatsui, mit shein hamatsui. What are the chances? What is the nature of the safek? How many movements do you require? Svexveika. What are the numbers involved? Right. That's one kind of issue. The other kind of issue is how do you look at the davar hamavarer or hamachria, or for that matter, is it a mavarer or a machria? In other words, and here I think you could also go in opposite directions. Right, there are ways of resolving sfeikos and halacha, right, that are just purely hachra. Safek tumah brishas harabim, safek tumah brishas hayachid is a great example of that. Again, the scope of it we'll see in just a minute, part of the debate between the Ramban and Tosas. But it's clear that the percentages of likely tumah contamination do not differ in Rishus HaRabim and Rishus HaYachim. You can have exactly the same, Safek HaShakol or Raglayim LaDavar, but Rishus HaYachim it's Tamein, Rishus HaRabim it's Tahar. Take Safek HaShakol at least, and that's, I guess, the easiest way to explain it. That's a Hakra of some sort. Safek HaDrabanu Lekula. Nothing to do with Birur. Because the din in question is a din Drabanan, doesn't make it less or more likely that that you have a problem. So those are hachraos. Then there are birurim. By birurim we mean that it's just one more second. I'll think in one second. By birurim we mean that there's a logical basis, and we really feel that we're resolving the safek by quoting the numbers or the likely steps. Svek sveka may be a birur. Rove may be a birur. There are also different roves and chazakas. We're going to get to that when we get to that test and daf yud. But that this is the place to discuss some of those issues. Rubin Isa come on, Rubin Leisa come on. Might be Michalik, Dafka, and those questions. The point is that there are levarim. So when I ask the question, im efshe levarer tzorech levarer. So in addition to the numbers, the question of what type of levarer and makriya is very important. But here you can go either way. You could say, listen, if you have the ambition to be a mevarer, right? So on the one hand, you might say, well, you shouldn't be mevarer misafek if you can be mevarer bevadai. So if efshe levarer tzarech levarer, but hachra, that's a whole different concept, a whole different idea. We understand that it's arbitrary. We understand that we're not making any statement about resolving the specific issue at hand. And the halacha allows us to work b'derech hachra. So there's no requirement of efshe levarer. On the other hand, there's also an argument to be made for the opposite view, which is, if we're dealing with a mevarer, so this is a better mevarer, that's a worse mevarer, but basically we're satisfied that we've laid the issue to rest. We're not proceeding on the basis of a safek. We're proceeding on the basis of a birur. So just because there's a better birur out there, the Torah says this birur is good enough. We don't need to be alti tzadik arbe. You know, if it's a good birur and we confidently apply it, we now think that there's no safek iser or safek tuma, then it's fine. However, hachra is a concession to the inability to be mavarer, basically. And yet, the Torah doesn't want us to be paralyzed. We shouldn't be stymied and stuck just because we can't figure out what to do. So the Torah gave us klalei hachra, right? Some of which are kind of universalize the problem, even though they don't mavarer specifically, but, you know, across, you know, a bigger population or many generations, maybe there is kind of a basis for it. Or in some cases, it's pure achra for various reasons. But should you operate with achra? Basically, you're eating something which may be macholos asuros. You're allowed to eat it misafek, according to the achra. Right? Or you're allowed to presume that there's no tumah here because of the achra. But there really hasn't been any birur. But can you do that when after levarer? So my point is, just now I'll take Ariel's question, anybody else's. So it's possible that we have here a discussion about Safek Tuma Bershus Harabim Tahar, not only the universal issue, Efshel Levarer Tzarek Levarer, but something very specific. I think there's no doubt that Safek Tuma Bershus Harabim Tahar works as a kind of hakra. It's not a birur. But the question is, its specific character, its specific type of hakra, how does that work vis-a-vis the salah? Yeah, carry on.
The way I decided, it seems like it was very clear that something which is there after something which is there often is just hakra.
Right.
Isn't there some discussion where we should have been concerned that it's also beer?
Well, we'll get to it. I mean, not in some of the application, in the original case for sure.
There's less people washing, or there's less people to be with, makes it more of a safek. Maybe.
I mean, the question is also what you call. I mean, it depends how you define Rishus Harabim.
Right.
Tosis begins as discussion. It's not impossible to say that, and I hope we'll have a chance to discuss this more fully another time. But Tosis begins his discussion by noting that the Azara's Rishus Harabim could amar perakam of Pesach. So what is that issue about? Is Safek Tumah Bershus HaYachid Shus HaRabim dependent upon population? Or is it also depend on the objective structure, namely the Makom? Like in Hilchos Shabbos, is it Bershus HaYachid Shus HaRabim? That very much depends on this issue. If you assume that the Azara is Bershus HaRabim because of its structure, not because of its population, so then you lose that, the possibility of saying, oh, you know, the people around, you know, contribute to the... I'm assuming that in this particular application. Okay. Good. So that's... it's a different watch, but it...
Also a little...
Okay. Right, so that's number one. The second question is the question itself. And that is... So what do you do with Tosis's question? So what is Tosis's answer, Adam?
But specifically by Shita, so it's a real problem that you're going to touch the buser.
So it's row. It's not. It's basically Tosis assuming the Safek Tumah Bershus HaRabim Tahar is a din in Safek HaShakol, not a din in row. Correct?
Or a row the other way?
Not when it's against the row. That's when it's a row, Latuma, you're not going to say Safek Tumah Bershus HaRabim Tahar. That's what Tosis says. Ramban expands on this idea. And this, by the way, is a view of Tosis in a number of places. I told you to look at Tosis in Pesachim, Daf Tesamid Aleph, just to reinforce that. Ramban, when he quotes the position of Balei Tosis here, brings a raya from Safek Tumah Bershus HaYachid Tamid. Ramban says, If I can prove to you that Safek Tumah Mishus HaYachid Tameh doesn't apply except with the Safek HaShokol, namely, that when there's a robe, the robe is Machriya Keneged Safek Tumah Mishus HaYachid Tameh, so then Kol Shekein the Safek Tumah Mishus HaRab. That's what the Ramban quotes. Ramban says, Kivan ve'od dibur shusar rabim sveik ator vaday kivan shu b'shusar yachid kol sveik is sveikos amitmeim kivan shu sofik arogel tolim lahakel in sofik tum b'shusar yachid kol shkei lahachmir tolim b'davar haragil ze kosvo hatosos. Okay, this is based on tosim psachim, etc. So is that a good raya or not? Howard, what do you think? Tosis idea, which is at Safek to Rambushus Arabim, Tahar, doesn't apply. We can prove that from Safek to Rambushus Ayachid, Tame, which doesn't apply, Keneged Rov. Kol Shekein. What's the Kol Shekein? Kulas and Chumras. If in Rambushus Ayachid, which is a Chumra, right, we let go of the Chumrah Keneged Rov, so the Kula, we're certainly going to drop the Makom Rov. That's Tosus' idea. But is it so, from a Kula Chumrah point of view, I understand. Yosef, what do you think?
Sorry, you could say a couple things. You could say that the Tumah didn't show it was a Chumrah and Tara didn't show it was a Kula.
Right.
If something's Tumah, you get the Vernon.
Right. Number one, in terms of kachim and such things, it's not always cool and chumra. Okay, go ahead. What else? What about the klalim themselves?
And secondly, the shavik tumah just rabim is on this keeping the status of tara, as opposed to shavik tumah shiachid, which is working against the
rabbanon. Yeah. Now, the shavik tumah shus hayachid, in one respect, is a bigger. This is part of the issue. We're just touching on it here. We're not going to go into the bigger topic. I hope at some point we'll have an opportunity. But that's basically what they're assuming is that some Tumrishus Rabim, some Tumrishus Yachid are parallel. They're parallel dinim. Therefore, whatever you say about one, you'll say for the other, except the issue of Kula and Chumra. And there you get a Kol Shekein. Question is that really true? As Yosef just said, maybe Safek Tumrishus Rabim, Tahar, is based on the idea of Mukminan. Acheskoso, everybody's becheskos tahara. Or, another way to say it, maybe even a sharper way to say it, maybe even if there isn't a cheskos tahara, safek tuma is lahakel. Even b'makom shein chazaka, maybe. You have to prove tuma. The burden of proof is on tuma. Safek tuma is just a yachid. That's the real chiddush. Indeed, there are indications of this. The Shev Shmaitza has a very famous discussion of this, where he says, is there really even a halacha of Safek Tumah Brishus HaRabim Tahar? I mean, really, it's just another way of saying, if it's not the Brishus HaYachid, then either Mukmin Lachas Kaso or Safek Lekula when it comes to Taharos. I remember, according to the Rambam, Safek Daraisa is Lekula when it comes to Isurim. If that's true, then just because we say that the chiddush is, it's not that they're equal. Safek tumah mishus hayachid tameh, that's a halacha. That swims against the current, against the momentum of the din of either cheskas tahara or the need for proof to be metameh. So there, if you have to have the right exact conditions in order to apply it, meaning it's got to be a suffix. A shakul, maybe, right? It's got to be a yesh vodas lishoel. All sorts of... Cronin pointed this out. Some of the requirements in suffix tumah mishus hayachid tameh are very hard to understand. But that's maybe because it's a kind of ein l'chabo el achidusho. Suffix tumah mishus hayachid, that's the chiddush. So if you don't have those conditions, one of them being perhaps suffix a shakul, no such halacha. But Safek Tumah Brishus HaRabim Tahar, that just means it's not Brishus HaYachid. And therefore, you have to prove it. So, certainly no Kol Shekein. Two totally different rules, types of rules. That's a very important issue. According to the Bali Tosis, in any case, we are talking about a situation of Safek Tum Brishus HaRabim that goes against the rove. And therefore, you need barley. If you don't have barley, misafek, you're going to say also. So here's an interesting question some achronim ask. And that is, according to Tosis, maybe barley shouldn't be enough? Because we're really talking that it's keneged rov. And why does barley help you? After all, in echod nemun b'isurim, but not keneged ischazak isura. It's not keneged ischazak isura, then maybe it shouldn't be keneged rov either. Is it echod nemun b'isurim keneged rov? What? No, but what we normally say that ruba v'chazaka rubadiv. So the assumption of the question is, if you can't overcome, if an edechot can't overcome a cheskas iser, then should it be able to overcome a stronger rov? That's a question that achronim ask. So I think one could answer this in different ways. Number one, well, the Pnei Yoshua says something. The footnotes in the Ritva, I think, quotes some of this discussion also. I didn't get a chance to look at it very much at length, but I saw it very quickly. He certainly quotes as Pnei Yoshua. Pnei Yoshua says, the difference is that in Cheskas Iser, you have the Cheskas Iser, right? In Rove, you have a Rove and you have a Miut. So when the guy says barley, so he's Neman to say that he's part of the Miut. Because the Rove and the Miut are not a stira. Every Rove includes a Miut. Cheskas Iser is an absolute until you know that it's changed. So the idea is that Edecha Neman or Barili can identify that the Miut rather than the Rove is the relevant application here. In the case of Cheskas Iser, it's got to overcome the Cheskas Iser. That's the Pnei Yoshua's argument. I think that there's another approach. I'm sure that Achronim must say it, but I can't tell you that I've seen it specifically. And that goes back to what we said a couple of weeks ago when we talked a little bit about Edecha Neman Bisurim. We said that why is Edecha Neman Bisurim? Again, number one, that Rishonim will hold that Edecha Neman Bisurim is Neman Keneged Eschazik Surim. That would be another approach. The question is, what is the Maskana? Well, the Maskana of the Gemara in Gittin, based on the base, is upheld even in light of the Gemara in Yevamos, Peches, and other things. That's one discussion. But even let's assume that Edechon is not Neman Keneged Eschazik Surim, and Ruba V'Chazaka Ruba Adiv, so how can it be Neman Keneged Rov? Could be what I said the other week, which was, why is that Edechon cannot overcome Eschazik Surim? Is that because Eschazik Surim is a kind of a hakra or beer, or whatever it is, meaning it's a factor, and Edechon is not strong enough to overcome that force and that factor? In which case, the question is certainly a good question. Maybe if Ruva Chazaka, Ruva Adif, and you can't overcome Chazaka, you shouldn't be able to overcome Rov. However, there's another explanation, and that is, the reason Edecho Nem Yisurim is not working against Chazak Yisura is because, essentially, then the Eidos is not longer identifying the Chafetza, it's implicitly being made about the change in the Chafetza. So it becomes an Eidos Alamaisa, rather than an edus of hakara or identifying the chafetza. If that's the case, then there's no comparison between rov and eschazak isura. In echad, even if ruva v'chazaka ruba adif, that's in terms of the strength of the bir or the hakra. But either way, rov does not have this added element of implicitly demanding, right, sipur edus or hagadas edus about a change in the Maisa. And therefore, we might dismiss the whole issue. I think there's a third possibility as well, that is, Even if we say raglayim ledavar, rov beats out suffek tumah b'rishus harabim, right? Doesn't mean that suffek tumah b'rishus harabim tahar is a non-entity, that it's a non-factor completely. It's still there. We say that it's overwhelmed. Are we saying it doesn't apply to makom rov, or are we saying that it's overwhelmed by rov? If it doesn't apply, so then you have a situation of ein echad barley keneged rov. Right. But if we say that it's overwhelmed by the rov, but there's still something called suffek tumah b'rishus harabim, still a factor, so then who's to say that suffek tumah b'rishus harabim plus ein echad doesn't beat out the equivalent of the chazak yisurah rov? So I think that these are various approaches that one could take to respond to this problem, but this is the issue. This is part of the issue. The Ramban himself doesn't like the position of Bali Tosis. He thinks that it's wrong. He thinks it's wrong. Ki yitzrich hilchasa lehechadika raglayim ledavar yitzrich. Di lav achim shimhame davar alcheskasa utahar. What's Ramban's primary argument? We don't need suffek tumah b'rishus harabim tahar to tell you that mukmina nacheskasa. We know that halacha. So it's got to be that suffek tumah b'rishus harabim tahar is keneged chazaka. So the truth is, if you look at Tosas and Chulin later on, Daf Testament Base, Tosas there is bothered by this problem too. Tosas says, well, suffek tumah b'rishus harabim tahar applies even when there is no cheskas tahara. Sometimes you can have a situation where there's no chazaka one way or another. In fact, the debate might even revolve around the original case of suffek tumah b'rishus hayachid b'rishus harabim, which is, Willie, what's the original case? The makar of all this. Sota. So Sota, the woman has a cheskas kashrus, but there's been kino yustira, right? She loses her cheskas kashrus or not? Or she retains it, but? Could be that this is exactly the question, the case in the paradigm of both suffek tumah b'rishus hayachid b'rishus harabim. Is it one in which there is a chazaka or not? That might be partially, at least, the question. In any case, Ramban doesn't like. You have a question, Jason? Yes. Is that. I think so. I mean, yeah.
The second thing in Ramban that it's.
Yeah. So then the Ramban says maybe the command of Mitaritz. Go ahead. That maybe you could say kiven the shachet command the vaday nagadami. He lo the amar barley. And then he says veleisa. And he rejects. What's he saying there?
Maybe I guess because the rov makes it that it's almost guaranteed.
I mean, it's a stronger rov. How do you understand the Ramban? That's a stronger rov. It could be. I mean, the truth is that the Baalei Tosas in Pesachim Daf Tes try to explain when the Gemara uses the language in some of the cases there that, you know, that it's Vadai. And they say, well, it can't be Vadai, otherwise we wouldn't be talking about this issue. Right? It means a very strong rove. So Jason is suggesting that's what the Ramban is saying. Well, unless you say this is an incredibly powerful rove. It's like a Vadai Naga. I thought it meant something different, to be honest. But I don't know that you're wrong. You might be right. I thought the Ramban was saying a bit of a chiddush here. And that is that basically al pidin, when you shecht the sakin aruka, that's considered vadai naga. It's just not vadai, because al pidin you are tamei and you are touching the behema. Right, we're just not sure whether the tuma is touching the behemoth. So maybe al pidin, in the more formal sense, one could say that what we have here is vade naga, safek betame, as opposed to safek and rov naga betame. That's what I thought the Ramban was saying. But you might be 100% right. In which case, it's a kiddush that we're formalizing the, yeah.
So the your negiah is not two sides of the same coin, the fact that it's tame.
What I'm saying is that there is a negiah, and you are tame. But is it negiah's tuma? I mean, what's really koveya here is the question of negiah's tuma. Because we don't really care that, you know, we don't care that you're officially, formally, you know, that you have contact with the behema. What we're really concerned about is you have contact with the behema in a way which is metame. So I thought that the Ramban was saying, but you might be 100% right. He's just he's going from raglayim ledavar to it's just a, you know, kaman devade nogadami. I thought what he was saying was, since there is contact here, so al pidin, the question shifts from being, is there negiyas toma? The answer is the rov. To being a question, there's vadai naga safek tuma, and that's a rove.
Is there such a case?
Or maybe even if there isn't a rove.
Is there a case where you can touch something? You could be tummy, you touch something.
I think you really have these kind of questions. I'll tell you where it comes up. Similar, it's not exactly, but we'll discuss it when we get to the test. You know, safek ol, you know, safek ba, safek naga. Why do we really care sometimes about safek ba when it comes to the questions of svek sveka, which, again, svek sveka b'shus ha-yachid is also tummy, right? So sometimes we say safek ol, safek lo ol, mi'atim salom are ol, safek naga, safek lo naga. So in some cases you could just ask the question, well, why the first safek? We don't care where he is. What we really care about is he naga? Was he naga betuma? What do we care if he's in the makom atuma? There's a chalosa being b'makom atuma. But in some cases that affects tremendously how we formulate the question. Being b'makom tuma. Again, there's a Musar Haskel in that too. Being b'makom, you know, safek negiya b'tuma is a chalos. Separate. So I read this Ramban. It could be I have that in my mind and I'm just, you know, biased. That's how I read the Ramban. Not that the percentages went up. Because what do you mean? Vare noga, and then we're saying barley. That would be a bigger problem to explain the barley shame. You know, he's a liar. But you're saying no. It's like the way Tos explains Imsak. I mean, it's a very, very high rove. I'm going to stop in a minute. Yeah. Did you, David, on question? Okay, let me just finish up. So, if that's the case, then this is a possibly what the Ramban has in mind. Ramban's saying it's safek tuma, vadai, it's vadai noga safek tuma. That already changes the equation. Okay. But he himself doesn't like it. I think the reason he doesn't like it is because he'll say, well, what do you mean? We don't care about Nagia, we care about Nagia's Toma. Right. I mean, you always have to ask this question when you add or when you formulate, is it a chalosun? And the answer is no. So finally the Ramban says, Elish ena kushya klum, the mimukdashim b'chi agavna la b'safik tuma daininan, the boy shimor, the siv mishmeres trumosa. El tzark shihei barilo, shein taurim bimlav asalak rima. So what's he saying, Adam? This is, of course, the big punchline. And the big the sword of the Ramban.
If there's something special about concussion, a special shimur.
Yeah. So what exactly does the Ramban mean? Ramban's saying, so in Akanami, the rule of Safek Tum Brishas Arabim applies, because it applies even Keneged Rove, because it's really a Hilchasa Gemiri law. Very important machlokas in its own right. Right? And Tosa says, no. It only applies when it's not Keneged Rove. Fine. The Ramban says, however, when it comes to Mukdashim, Savik Tum Brishas Aram Tar doesn't apply. Because of Mishmeres, concept of Shimur, that makes all the difference. So if you look at some of the Achronim here, I have the Reichman edition of the Ramban. I don't know if there's a better one now, but it used to be the best edition. And some of the other, you know, the Mrs. Al Meltzer one was missing some sections. So he has, he quotes the Ritva. He says, oh, what does Ramban mean here? He means that Hesach Hadas is posel. Hesach Hadas is posel in Bituma, Bikadshim. And if you look at the Ritva does mention Hesach Hadas. If you look at the footnotes on the Ritva, I just saw it very quickly, but right before the, you know, he also has several acronym, I think, in addition to whoever. He's quoting here. Like, oh, this is idea that Hesach Hadas is poem, but it's a huge chiddush. Just because something is mutal b'safek, right? That makes it hesach hadas. Or because you're mistapek about its status, so you're not going to be careful about it, and you're going to be mesiach das. What does safek and shmira have to do with this hesach hadas per se? And then they say maybe it depends on the machlokas whether hesach hadas is posel begufo. You have to burn it or not. Maybe it depends on the scope and nature of hesach hadas. If that's what the Ramban had in mind, then it would only apply to dinim in which there is a psul of hesach hadas. I don't think that's what the Ramban means. He doesn't say hesach hadas. The Ritva does say hesach hadas, but actually I understood the Ritva to be saying exactly the opposite. Namely, there's a concept of hesach hadas in kodshim because it's a din of shmira. And not that the lack of shmira is a psul of hesach hadas. I think that the Ramban's idea is a very profound idea. I've mentioned it in the past. I like this Ramban very much. Ramban thinks that whenever there's a din of shmira, shmira means you can't reach a point where you have to rely on klal yachra. Shmira means that you have to preclude, you have to take steps to safeguard that you don't get to that point. It's a very important idea. Shmira, we have shmira in Shabbos, we have shmira in Trumos, in Kachim, in Chimutz, in case of Matzah. The idea of shmira is you don't leave things to safek and hachra. You have to be proactive to make sure that you protect even from safek. Safek is a chalos too. And that's what I think the Ritva means about hesach hadas. The same reason that there's psul hesach hadas in kachim, when there really is hesach hadas, maybe because you are risking matters, that very same reason, the shmira of kachim, Trumos, the shmira, idea of shmira, isn't merely lemaisa to make sure that the thing is going to be tahar. It's a certain attitude, a certain protectionist perspective. You consider this to be a precious item that you're not going to take the risk. Right, if you had a precious jewel, right, so you wouldn't say, according to the dinam of rov, it's protected. Right, you take steps and measures that there's not even going to be a safek. That's essentially the Ramban's idea of the shmeres. That's the case, and the klali achra, like safek tum brishus harabim tahar, don't apply. I think this is connected also to the Ramban's view in Psachim, in the context of matzah. The Ramban there explains, again we've spoken pre-Pesach in other years, but the Ramban explains that you can't use anything for matzah that doesn't have the potential for chametz. That's really a mishnah. But the question is, how far do you go with that? You need chamesh saminim, right? According to the Gemara, you have to have the threat of the iser chametz, right? If it's not nitan l'chimutz, it's not kosher for matzah. So the Rishonim debate, the Rambam, the Ramban, and the Rif, and others, and the Baal Amor, let's say something cannot become chametz because it's meperos, but it's the min shebolidei chimutz, like chamesh saminim. So would you still say this halacha that if it's not lemaisa bolidei chimutz, you can't use it for matzah? So the Ramban in Muchamos in Psachim says that's one of the two explanations. Yeah, it says ushmartem es hamatzos, so it has to be davar shetzarich shmira. I think what the Ramban is saying is it's not just, like Gzeiros HaKasuv. The Ramban is saying is shmiras davar shaton shmira is a kiyum in its own right. It's a way of relating to the chayfetz as a davar. In this case, in our sugya, davar shebikdusha. In that case, it's about the lishma and the preparation of matzah. But the point is, you have to have the risk, and you have to take steps to protect it from the risk. Shmira isn't just making sure lemaisa it's okay. It's the process itself to guarantee that you treat it in a way that reflects that you cherish this particular chafetz. I think that's what the Ramban is saying here as well. You have violated ushmartem, even if you hold that safek tum b'shus hayachid, b'shus harabin is tar. Okay, we'll stop here. On Thursday, Karavrei Kachalo. Sorry we're a little bit late. We'll do, I guess, a Hechad Kedusha. But also just to remind you, I was just told before, next Tuesday is a Thursday schedule. So next Tuesday, the...